Krisos Perek Gimel Mishnah Dod 3-4. This perek, as I said before, is dealing with the possibility of having to bring multiple korbanos, chatos primarily, in a single act, for a single act. And the previous mishnah we talked about having the sort of sandwich which had, you know, four different isurim. It had nosar and dam and chalev, etc. inside the sandwich. And for each kazayas you eat, even though the sandwich you thought was kosher, but you did it all in one halam. But since there are different of the targ mitzvahs being violated here, for each of the separate targ mitzvahs that are violated, you have to bring a separate chatas, if they're, you know, if they're chiv ikaras, etc. Our mishnah here is going to say that it's possible even that you could have a single kazayas of meat, let's say, for which if one eats it, he's liable to multiple chataos. Okay? So the idea is that this single kazayas can be forbidden in multiple ways. And therefore, when one eats it, he sort of ticks all the boxes simultaneously, and he has to bring a chatas for each of the different targ mitzvahs that he's violating. Now, an important rule to know before we begin is the rule of Ein Isser Chal Al Isser, which means that a new prohibition can't kick in on something which is already prohibited. So, for example, a horse. A horse is forbidden to be eaten because it's not from a kosher species, and, you know, it's not a kosher animal, and therefore eating horse meat is forbidden, period. Now, when that horse dies, it does become a nevela, no doubt about it, and the halachas of, you know, Tum and Tara regarding nevela kick in. And there's a separate prohibition from the Torah against eating nevela meat. But if one eats a kazayas of horse meat from a horse that wasn't, you know, didn't have shechita, so he's only on the hook for one punishment, not two. Why? Because already when the horse was alive, it was forbidden as horse meat. And when the horse died, it's already forbidden. And therefore, nothing new is being added. So it's already forbidden. You can't, in iser chal iser, a new prohibition can't kick in here. So when one eats the horse meat, he's punished for eating horse meat, not eating horse meat and also eating nevela. Okay? Now, that rule of Ein Isser Chal Al Isser has three important exceptions, and that makes the rule oftentimes non-operative, and that will be, we'll have to go through that in our Mishnayos over here. So the three exceptions to the rule of Ein Isser Chal Al Isser are, number one, it's called Isser Mosif. Isser Mosif is when the new event that happens makes the forbidden object, the piece of meat, let's call it, forbidden in a different way. Like, for example, let's say it was usser to eat this, but now it becomes usser to get any benefit at all from it. So you're sort of making it more intensely forbidden. So you're mosif, you're adding to the isser. Okay? So that's number one. If someone, you know, is makdish the horse, so then now a second thing's kicked in, which is you can't, the horse meat wasn't just forbidden to eat as horse meat, it's also forbidden to eat as hekdish, as consecrated item. And therefore, if one were to eat it, he's now on the hook for two separate things, okay? The notion of Isser Mosif actually can work in one of two ways. The first is, like I said, the Isser becomes somehow like sort of more intense. It's more, there's more restriction on the horse meat. The second possibility is that the horse meat becomes restricted to more people. I don't have an example of horse meat, but the point is you can be Mosif if something happens, which now makes more people forbidden from eating this horse meat, whatever, for the object that's Usser. So then, now, again, you're mosif, and you could add a second level of isser, and a person who then eats it would be liable for two sets. I don't have a good example of horse meat, but we'll see plenty of examples in the coming Mishnayos. The second exception to the rule of Ein Isser Chal Al Isser is what's called the isser kolel, which means a more inclusive isser. If the scope of the isser is more broad, to include, you know, a more general isser and more people, sort of like in your Venn diagram, the circle of isser is getting bigger. Okay, you're bringing more people into the restricted list. So then that adds something, just as Isser Mosif adds something that adds more specificity or more intensity to the Isser itself, the particular forbidden object. Here, Isser Kola means that more people are forbidden from participating in this Isser. So then that also is Chal, and a second level of Isser can be Chal, meaning that a person can be liable for both, you know, twice, for double, two things. I'll give examples shortly, Bez Hashem, in the Mishnah. And the third is called Isser Basachas, which means if two things happen at the exact same time, if you know, Du Malacha and Shabbos is forbidden, Du Malacha and Yom Kippur is forbidden, if Shabbos and Yom Kippur are the same day, they come at the same time, so then it's both Shabbos and Yom Kippur and it's, you know, both things kicked in at the same time, or a woman who's both your daughter and your sister for the minute she's born, so then she's forbidden both ways, and you're on the hook, like, both for daughter and sister in terms of, you know, forbidden unions. So that's what's called basacha. So again, in Isser Chal, Isser is true, but there are three important exceptions: Isser Mosif, Isser Kolil, Isser Basachas, and we're gonna have those all come into play in our Mishnah shortly. Okay, so the case of our Mishnah here is the first Mishnah Dalet, is the possibility of a single kazayas of meat being forbidden in a number of different ways, such that if one would eat this kazayas of meat, he'd be liable to four chataos and an asham. Okay, so what's the story here? The story is as follows. First of all, we're talking about chalev. Okay, so chalev is like the forbidden fats. So you have a cow, and that cow, for the moment it's born, has forbidden fats in it, chalev, and eating this forbidden fats is forbidden under penalty of kares. If you did a mezid, therefore b'shogeg, you bring a chatas. Okay, so that's number one. Eating chalev, b'shogeg, chatas. But if someone now is makdish this cow, he consecrates the cow to be an ola. So now, from the moment he consecrates it, so now the chalev and the cow isn't just forbidden to be eaten as chalev; it's also forbidden to get hana from it. You can't now use it, you know, to wax your surfboard or to, you know, to burn as a candle. And therefore, you're mosif; you add restrictions to the chalev, and therefore, being makdish it now kicks. This iser can be chal, can also apply, devolve on this chalev. So now, if one would eat the chalev, he'd be on the hook for two things. The fact that it's chalev, which is forbidden in itself, and the fact that he was benefiting from a hekdesh, which is me'ila, separate thing, right? The first has a chata, second has an asham me'ilas, but the point is two separate things. Okay, now, if the person, our bad guy Reuven here, becomes tame, so now a new world of restrictions kick in. This is called kolel, because the circle of what's forbidden to our sinner Reuven got a lot bigger. Okay, when he was tahor, he couldn't eat anything that was any chalev. That's fine, but he could eat other kosher sacrificial meat. That very animals. You know, if it was a shlum, you could eat the kosher sacrificial meat. But once it becomes tame, all consecrated items become, like all sacrificial meat, let's call it, becomes forbidden to him. Okay? And included in that is also the chalev on this particular korban. So now that added, that's Isser Kolel, because the circle of, like, got bigger around him. He wasn't just now forbidden from eating the chalev, but now all sacrificial meat, because he's tame, including the chalev. So that's a third thing. Okay? And now, if this particular chalev isn't offered, but instead, as imurim, instead it's just left to lina, left past the deadline, and now it becomes nosar, leftovers. So leftover meat, if you will, sacrificial meat, is prohibited. And that is also an Isser Karas. And this is going to be another case of Isser Mosif, because now the forbidden chalev becomes forbidden not just to all the people in the world, but also to the mizbeach itself. You can't even offer nosh on the mizbeach, so it becomes more restricted. So you're mosif, you're adding restriction to the chalev, because it can't be not just eaten, which was true before, it can't even be offered anymore. So since that itzer kicks in, so it kicks in also the shame, the category of nosar as well, no people, no mizbeach. And then a fifth thing is, if it turns out to be, now Yom Kippur rolls around, so Yom Kippur you can't eat any food, so all the food becomes forbidden in the world, including the chalev that was, you know, that was consecrated and then became, the person became tame, and then it became nosar, but now Yom Kippur rolls around, so that guy also can't eat the piece of meat, the chalev, because of Yom Kippur. And this is giving an Isser Kolel, because on Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur rolls around, it forbids all the food in the world, including this piece of Nosar Chalev meat. Okay? Which means then, we're going to have a total of five Isurim kicking in, one after the other. Each Isser is Chal in the previous Isser, notwithstanding the rule that there is Ein Isser Chal Isser, because each of these stages is Mosif or Kolel more. Okay, so again, just let me walk you through one more time because the Mishnah is very brief. It starts out, we're talking about chelev, so that's aser in and of itself, in iser karis. Then the person's someone's makdish animal, so now becomes also an iser me'ila, which the penalty would be an asham me'ilos, as well as you have to replace it and add a chomesh, but that's not the point. You have a second korban, a chatas for the chelev, and an asham for the me'ila. And then if the person becomes tamei, all sacrificial stuff becomes forbidden to him, so we're kolel everything, including this piece of chelev. That's another chatas, a second chatas, so three korbanos, because you have the asham. And then if the sacrificial meat is left over past the deadline, no sar, that includes the chelev with everything else, so that's already going to be mosif. I said that badly. No sar restricts it, it restricts it now to even the mizbeach. So that's mosif, it adds another level of restriction. The mizbeach can't even be offered or eaten anymore. And then if Yom Kippur rolls around, now that's kolel, all the food, including this, that's a fifth. So if on Yom Kippur, one eats this nosar, when he's tameh, and it's a sacrificial animal that was consecrated, and he's eating the chelev of it, he'll be on the hook for a total of four chataos and one asham. Okay? That's the first part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is really brief. It just says, Yesh ochel achila achas v'chayev alea arba chataos. There's the possibility of one who eats a single kazayas of meat, and he's on the hook for it's fat, whatever you call it, for four chataos and v'asham echad, and also one asham. What's the case? The case is a tamei person, she'achal es chelev, he eats chelev, v'haya nosar, it was already past its deadline, min ha-mukdashim, and it was from a consecrated animal, v'yom ha-kippurim, on Yom Kippur, like I described. Now, Rameir says, im ha'isa Shabbos v'hotziu b'fiv chayev. Rameir says, you know what? If it would be Shabbos and he'd be eating it as he's walking, you know, out from Rosh Hashanah to Shavuot Aram or Dal Rabbah to Shavuot Aram, so he'd be on the hook also for a chilul Shabbos. And if it's b'shogeg, again, another shogeg, another chatas for the Isser Karas of being mechal Shabbos b'shogeg. Okay. Amru lo, and the rabbi said back to Rabbi Meir, eino min Hashem. That's something else. We're talking about the prohibition of eating this thing, and that's something else. That's chutzah, not relevant. Okay, so now a couple points. First of all, just a very technical side point, which is the truth is you have to ask yourself why Reb Meir had to come on to Shabbos. Even on Yom Kippur, Hotzah is Aser. Malach on Yom Kippur, like Shabbos, Shabbason is a prohibition of doing Malacha under penalty of Karis. So the Gemara ends up saying, Reb Meir is saying that if it would be Shabbos, he'd be on the hook for not one more, but two more Korbanos, bring us to six Chataos and Asher. That's a side point. But the main point is, you know, this isn't a game where we're trying to think of a most ludicrous scenario where you could be doing multiple things at the same time wrong and incur multiple, you know, chatas obligations. Because it could be, I don't know, he's sleeping with his sister while he's eating this chelev, and there you add more. That's not the point. And Reb Meir knows that's not the point. However, Reb Meir says, this isn't just me coming up with another, Hillel Shabbos, throw that on there and also sleeping with your sister. That's not what's happening. What's happening is, on Shabbos, yes, Hotza'ah, transferring is an iser kares, and if you do b'shogeg, chayav chatas. But if you do, there's the rules of Shabbos. You know, melech masheves, the melachan must be done in Shabbos in a calculated, efficient, normal way. If you take a pen and put it in your mouth and carry the pen in your mouth on Shabbos, daladamos, that's not an iser d'oraisa. It's only iser d'rabbanan because there's a shinui, there's a weirdness happening. It's a change from the normal way. No one normally carries pens in their mouths. So how do you carry pens? Okay. But if you're eating, there is a normal way to, and you want to be eating, there's a very normal way to, and while you're walking, the normal way to carry the food, if you want to be eating it while you're walking, is to, in your mouth, while you're chewing it. So therefore, Reb Meir is saying, listen, on Shabbos, if you, or Yom Kippur for that matter, but on Shabbos, if you're carrying in your mouth food that you're eating, that's the normal way of carrying it, and that's when you'd be chayav for an extra chatas. And his point is, you're only chayav this extra chatas because you're eating. And yes, our Mishnah is talking about the liabilities you incur simultaneously for eating, but you're only chayav because you're eating. If you wouldn't be eating, you wouldn't be chayav for carrying this piece of food in your mouth. Okay? That's his position. The Chacham don't actually disagree with this in principle. No, they agree. Yes, it's true. If you'd be eating on Yom Kippur Shabbos, this piece of chelev, you'd be on the hook for six chataos and an asham. But that's not the point. The point is we're talking about the piece of food that you would eat, not the act of eating. But Rav Meir says we're talking about eating, and this would be therefore added onto the list.